The Sermon on the Mount is surely one of the many teachings of Jesus that is remembered by us as Christians, but also known by those that read their Bible and keep up with some of the teachings of Jesus. Matthew, one of the apostles of Jesus, gives us an example of what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. We read in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them." At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew writes, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Teaching as one having authority. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a very short statement that serves as an explanation of the overall teachings of Jesus. Not only that, but he points directly at the results. What will happen during the time that people are listening and following the teachings of Jesus? And then he gives like a summation when he says in verse 13 and verses 14 of chapter 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I want us to look carefully at these very short verses. Jesus here is making a very easy to understand issue. He is telling those people that were there, that had come together, "Enter by the narrow gate," because there's a reason. And the reason he's giving these instructions to the people that were listening, he says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." I want us to look carefully at some of the things that we find here. There are several issues here in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I want us to look carefully at what Jesus is saying here. He makes, first of all, a distinction between two gates. You already saw the verse. He makes a distinction between the two ways, the two destinies, and the two groups of people. When he speaks of the people, Jesus speaks of the many, M-A-N-Y, in number. And when he talks about these that are many, these are the ones that enter by the wide gate, who walk in the broad way, the broad way that leads to destruction. And Jesus says there are many, M-A-N-Y, who go in by it. I want us to notice that Jesus is making a distinction of people. The number of people that walk correctly and the number of people that do not walk correctly. And let me make it very clear that Jesus is the one that is making this distinction. He makes it in very simple terms. But look carefully at this particular verse. When Christ speaks of the many in number, he is talking about those who enter by the wide gate, those who walk in the broad way. And he says that the broad way is the broad way that leads to destruction. And I emphasize the word many. Jesus says, many go in by it. But let us look at something else here. Christ also speaks of the few in number. And these are those who find the narrow gate, who enter by the narrow gate, who walk in the difficult way, the confined way that leads to life. And Jesus again says, there are few who find it. So again, I point at the difference that Jesus makes between the many and the few. And that is impressive. And again, I remind you that many of us already know what this all means. But this is a brief summation that Jesus is making here at this time. But listen carefully at what Jesus says here in this verse. He states to the people that are listening to his sermon, enter by the narrow gate. And I emphasize the word enter. It is not enough to find it, but enter by the narrow gate. And he is instructing the listeners to do precisely that, to enter by the narrow gate. Follow the difficult way, which leads to life. And then he again says, there are few who find it. Again, Jesus is making this distinction. But I want us to look carefully that this is not the only scripture where Jesus makes this point. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, he repeats the very same words, for many are called, but few are chosen. That is a statement that you will find several times in the gospel according to Matthew. But I want us to look at something else. There is a parallel scripture, Luke chapter 13. Beginning with verse 22 all the way down to verse 30, Luke writes about this particular person that came up to the Lord and asked this question, are there few who are saved? And you know, that question has come up many times in our studies, whether they be privately or they be publicly. We discuss this particular issue. And this was the issue that was also discussed among the people of Jesus' time. Luke says, then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will seek to enter and will not be able. Listen carefully, although I am repeating myself. That's Jesus making the distinction. Jesus is answering the question of this particular man. Are there a few who are saved? How many people are going to be saved at the end? How many people are going to be lost? Jesus answers the question. strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will seek to enter and will not be able. The answer is there. There's few people at the end who will be saved compared to the many people that will be lost. And again, I repeat, these are the words of Jesus. But I want us to look at something that is very interesting to me, and it should be to all of us. Here in Luke chapter 13, when Jesus uses the word strive, we may not be impressed with the word strive because it is a synonym to the word try. But it's a stronger word. In the Greek, you see the spelling of that particular word in the Greek. And it means to struggle, to agonize. That tells us something about these words. I've often said from here, either publicly or privately, that the words that we find in the Bible are not written to fill a space. The words of Jesus were written to teach something. They say something. They imply something. So when you look at the word strive to enter through the narrow gate, it's going to cost you. That's what Jesus is saying. You're going to have to put some energy behind it. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a choice. It's going to be difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy to enter through the narrow gate. Listen, you know what narrow means? Do you know what wide means? Where there is a wide gate, you can dance all over it. You can move from one end to the other. You can go in and out. And not only that, but you can have someone else with you. You can have a lot of many other people with you. But when Jesus is talking about the narrow gate, struggle, agonize, that means you don't have very much room to wiggle. You don't have very much room to make a mistake. It requires energy, wisdom, following instructions, determination, sacrifices, etc., etc., etc. These are the words of Jesus. Brethren, when we look at this, we are reminded of something else that Jesus states in Matthew chapter 7. And remember, these are the closing words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Many will say to me in that day," the day of judgment, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonders in your name? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Again, who says that? Jesus said those words. And he uses the word many, M-A-N-Y. Many will say, "I've done this. Didn't I do that? Didn't you see me do this?" But the answer of Jesus to the M-A-N-Y, "I never knew you." He didn't approve of them. What they did was not satisfying God's idea of doing. Depart. He doesn't say, "Welcome, come on in." It's the opposite. Stay away. Depart. You have no part in salvation. Why? Because you practice lawlessness. you practice and you do what you're not supposed to do. You have no authority for. You have no right. I didn't ask you that. I didn't demand that from you. You did your own thing. You came up with your own idea. You came up with your own excuse. That doesn't work. But listen, Jesus is saying this to the M-A-N-Y, to the many, as he makes a distinction between these. Now let me give you something else to think about this morning. The Apostle Peter reminded his readers of something that happened a long, long time ago, in the days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, F-E-W, that is 8. Count them. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of how many? I have no idea. We're not told. This is a splendid example of this distinction, this difference that Christ made. At the very end of his Sermon on the Mount, he wanted his listeners to understand that there is a difference. People react differently to the words of Jesus. People reacted differently to the words of Noah. And out of all of those people that were there, the many that were there, only 8 were saved through water. That's not Reuben saying that. That's not Paul saying that. That's not the elder saying that. That's the word of God. Listen carefully. This is a tremendous example. It has already occurred. It already happened. That there was a time of judgment at that time. How many people are going to enter into the ark? Noah. He had instructions about the animals that were going in. He had instructions about everything about the ark. And then when it was time to open the door, only 8 people came into the ark and were saved. Can it happen again? Jesus says it will happen again. Jesus makes the statement that it will happen. Dearly beloved, there are some lessons here. Actually, there are a lot of lessons, but I've chosen 4 to close this particular lesson. The first thing that I want to point out is that God desires the many and the few, that is, all men, to be saved. Although there is this statement that at the end, many will be lost and few will be saved, God desires, and God did everything right to prepare salvation for the many and the few. God wants all men to be saved. He still wants it. It's no different. The second lesson that I want to point to you this morning is we must preach the gospel to the many and to the few. Jesus told his apostles, preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, you may have already reached the conclusion who is in the many and who is in the few. And you may make a decision that, well, I'm going to preach to the few. Careful. That's not what it says. It says every creature, the many and the few. Preach the gospel to everyone, because the gospel is for everyone. There's another lesson here that I want to point. There's no excuse to be discouraged from obeying God, from obeying the gospel. When you see the numbers, when you see the distinction made that Jesus makes, the many and the few, don't be discouraged by that. He's only making a summation, but you will determine it. I will determine. So I ought not to become discouraged, because few are going to be saved, because few are going to respond to the gospel invitation. And finally, there's no excuse to be discouraged from being faithful to God. Listen, don't give up. Well, I'm going to be of the many. Regardless, I mean, I'm lost. I give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. These are vital lessons as we consider the many and the few. Thank you. You may be dismissed.